Oh, man, I need a beer.
Have a cocktail.
No, I don't care for any.
I said have a cocktail.
So can I get you gentlemen something more to drink? Or maybe something to nibble on?
This is some serious gourmet shit.
This is the best thing I have ever put in my mouth.
I picked a hell of a day to quit drinking.
I came for the beer and the bitches.
From now on, every hour is happy hour.
I'm drunk. You're drunk. Everybody's drunk.
You can't drink worth a shit, you know that?
I wish she'd get out of my life and shut up.
Shut up, Chip, or I'll go ape shit on your ass. I'm gonna scissor kick you in the back of the head.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
Come on. I'm 10 years old, but I'll beat your ass. Chip, I'm gonna come at you like a spider monkey.
Like a spider monkey? Come on.
Shut up, bud pirate, I'm trying to hear.
The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air.
Every time welcome to Big Funny Ed, the Demons of Ale show.
Scary beers. And it's frightening that it's been so long since we actually put together a regular show. Well, with all our travels and whatnot.
And beer drinking.
And beer drinking, yeah. The beer drinking has actually gotten in the way of the podcasting. Who knew? Nobody could have saw that coming.
It was bound to happen.
Yeah. But as if you listen to the last show, you know we're making our attempts to get back on track. And I hope you got to enjoy that. That was kind of a special show and was very nice to relive the beer dinner that preceded the GABF, which is where we were, and then work and family and everything got in the way. So anyway, we're back on track and going to get back to our regular schedule and getting beers out. And, man, what a way to snap our asses right back in line than these beers we're drinking tonight.
This is a show that we promised Avery Brewing Company, the sales representative, Peter, that we do. As a matter of fact, he kind of stimulated our thought train.
Yeah, he gave us the idea. And, of course, with Halloween coming up.
And told us where to go find his beer.
This
was Peter, and I've forgotten his last name.
Peter, the marketing guy from Avery. Hey, all you got to do is go to the Avery tap room. There he is.
There he is.
Yeah. But that was a good call by him, and we did go, and even in our semi-inebriated state, we hunted the beers down and found them. So that's good.
Yes.
Because wasn't one of these out of circulation, more or less, because they're seasonal beers. And I thought one of them, the guy told us where to go. So it was pretty cool hunting them down.
We had to go to a specific store. Yep. To find it, and it was in Boulder.
And it was like one little row of them stuck in the middle of a bunch of stuff, and so we got it all. And I guess you got some background on what these beers are.
Well, Avery does several series beers. They've got the Dictator series, and that's got the Tsar and the Maharaja, and I forgot what the
Kaiser.
And they got the Demons of Ale series, and others. I forgot all the different series they have, but
yeah,
the
couple of different
series
ones,
we're doing tonight is called the Demons of Ale.
Right.
And Sammy Ale's Ale is the one we're starting with. It's a oak-aged English strong ale, and it's weighing it at a light alcohol by volume of 14.5%.
Right. This is our session beer of the night.
Samael's ale is super caramelly oak-aged English-style strong ale, perhaps the least hoppy, a sacrilege here at Avery, we've brewed. To accentuate the malt, the oak is very apparent in this rich and high-gravity ale, adding additional depth and complexity with a wooden and cask-like nose and pronounced vanilla flavor on the palate.
And then the 2007 notes, with the addition of an additional roasted malt, it now delivers subtle bitterness to add/balance to the natural sweetness. And you did mention it's 14.5% alcohol, but for an IBU, it's only 41.
Yeah, I would say it's a little too sweet for me.
It's pretty sweet. There's like squat for hops. It's like drinking. It's a little syrupy, I guess, is the mouth.
It's got a little Columbus and Fuggles in it. And we know Fuggles is a very mild English.
Oh, yeah. And Columbus, well, that was their first. Boy, that's like a base hop. I think it's like 11% alpha acids. Not really super jacked up high. And side note, congratulations to Avery. They won a silver, the GABF, for their Hog Heaven Barley Wine, which is good stuff. And good stuff. Yeah. So the series that we got into, and we thought this was pretty cool, you know, because the demons and scary beer and stuff. And like I said, we were going to do this for Halloween. Of course, we totally screwed it and just missed it by a long shot. So this is our scary Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving, post-Halloween deal that we're doing here.
Somehow the image of pilgrims and turkeys doesn't really match scary demons. But
I think it's a scary turkey. But we did a little research because all these things that we're drinking here, of course, who doesn't research their beer? And we, you know, the names and stuff. So Sam Ale, because that, you know, the beers, the three beers are Sam Ale, the Mephistopheles, and the Beast. That's the three beers of the series. Sam Ale is the one we're drinking now. And so we got to look it up. And Sam Ale, also Sam Ale with two M's, is an important archangel. He is a figure who's an accuser, a seducer, and destroyer. Been regarded as both good and evil, depending on where you sit in the Talmud, and he is identified as the chief of Satan's and the angel of death. Never a good thing. He was a guardian angel of Esau, who I forget who that is, and a patron, a good guy, for the Empire of Rome, who was all about sin and debauchery. Sam Ale is usually considered to be the true angelic name of Satan.
And crucifying believers, for one thing. So,
the angel of death.
The Romans.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure. That was that whole Christians and Romans thing, right?
Yeah, well, Jews too.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Forgot about him. That was their big claim to fame. So, kind of interesting. The name Sam, the etymology is Sam, in some combinations, means poison, and El, meaning God. Therefore, he is the poison of God, but not so much a poisonous beer. It's syrupy. We're drinking it. But, yeah.
It's enjoyable beer. I mean, yeah. I'm certainly enjoying it, and I wouldn't mind having this on a regular basis. You know, mm-hmm. I was at a restaurant or something and having a meal, this would be appropriate with some things.
I don't know if I'd have this at the beginning or the end, because it's very, I mean, it's almost like a dessert beer.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. It's kind of after dinner reclining.
A finisher. You know. Of course, you know, we could go on and on and on about the different beer notes, but speaking of beer notes, what better place to put the beer notes than in your beer journal, which we have. We've got a copy.
We have. Thanks. Thanks to Chris Wright. And yeah. We've been meaning to do this for a long time. Apologize greatly, but you know how things go. Chris sent us a couple of beer journals to try out, and I used mine during GABF. I found it very handy. I was able to write down detailed notes when I was sitting down sampling beers at a specific location, and he also had several pages for festivals. And that's where you just jot down a real quick note. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's nice.
And move on.
Nice little organized thing. But what it's also got, I like this, at the very beginning, is it's got a style guide. And it's got it's not really over the top nuts. It seems like this was written out nice enough where you could read it and really understand it. And kind of gives you a good idea. Because like what we just said, the IBUs on this is a 41. Okay, what does that compare to? And if you think of the type of sweet beer, I'm looking here at a Munich Dunkel, not a very hoppy beer. You wouldn't think of it as such. Its IBUs are 18 to 28. And there's a balance between alcohol, which of course is the amount of malts and the yeast consumption, and hops. In order to have a beer that's jacked up with alcohol and a high hop, or at least 41 IBUs, you got to have a nice little balance going there in order to basically, not that your intention is to eliminate hops, but if they are eliminated, you know you got some serious alcohol going on. A Dunkel by comparison, which would probably, I guess, what would you say, Dunkels and Oktoberfest, and well, actually Oktoberfest probably might even be a little hoppier. They're low in alcohol. They're like 4 to 5% to 6%. But this
they're
is
session beers.
Yeah, session beers. So, and this one is pushing 15%, and it's first taste you know, I think it would probably kind of compare to them until the alcohol hits you. It's got a little bit of warming. Now that I've drank all of it, it's kind of warming me up in my lower esophagi. It's pretty good. I'm liking it.
Yeah, it's definitely warming up.
Yeah. I don't know if you're still drinking on yours.
So is that I definitely recommend our folks go out to thebeerjournal.com. That's thebeerjournal.com. And he's got a nice advertisement for Craft Beer Radio. You can look at that. But we'll go ahead and promote him. So thanks, Chris. Appreciate the book.
Yeah, it's very, very nice, very handy. And I think it's something that anybody who has an interest in beer can definitely use. And, I mean, I sat reading on it for a while because, you know, I like to think I know one or two things about a beer. But you can always learn more. It was all in there.
I think we ought to promote Phil's work as my life.
Oh, yeah.
The videos he did of the GABF. Exceptional coverage.
Yeah.
Very fun. Enjoyable to watch.
And we mentioned, I think we might have touched on it a hair on the last show, but there's a lot of people doing GABF coverage. And if you didn't get to it, visit Beer Safari. There's a list of all of the podcast and everybody who's out there, and everybody's been covering it. You can find the GABF materials there. Phil's site, you're going to need to go to because it's a video. And he's got a three-part series, My Life as a Foodie. I think he's got that URL at zeroface.wordpress.com, My Life as a Foodie. Look it up on Google. Either way, it'll get you.
The series is hopped up, parts 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
Almost professional production qualities. He did intros and credits at the end and voiceovers and visual effects and things like that. So I'm very impressed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the end voiceover, I think, really kind of summed it up. I mean, it was really nice. Go watch it. And part 3 especially because we're in it.
Especially part 3. Yes.
Yeah. Obviously, he saved the best for last. But, no, it's really good. And, you know, it kind of shows you the whole chaos that was the Great American Beer Festival. And
you know, it's not beer focused. It's more about food, but he always enjoys a good beer with it.
Always,
and he gives some fantastic recipes. And I definitely want to try the spaghetti one. I haven't gotten around to it. I haven't gotten the kitchen from my wife, but eventually I will.
Well, the one, and he had one in there. A stout braised beef using your new favorite polenta. Very good.
Yes.
So, yeah, check it out. Phil's got a great site. A lot of it. And it's good. You know, I think if you like a good beer, then it probably goes without saying you like a good meal, too. And he's got a lot of good takes on all of this. So why don't we take a break and listen to some scary music and be back with our next beer.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll, but listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You're bringing me to time. Where is the velvet dust? It really does an insane. Let's do the time on the air. Let's do the time on the air.
It's a dream. Oh, fantasy, free me, so you can't see me. No, not at all. In another dimension, with voyeuristic intention. Well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into the time slip.
And nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation.
Like you're under sedation.
Let's do
up, you put your sunglasses and your little tux on and hopped around, did the Time Warp. Surely to God, you know where that came from. That's Rocky
Just
Horror.
Just a jump to the left and a step to the right. Right.
Put your hands on your hips and there you go. Did you ever go to Rocky Horror, the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
All the time. Yeah, I was a big fan.
How many times?
25,
30. I had over 60. Because it was on the Highland Strip and it was by all the bars. And so if you're going to the bars and you weren't, meeting anybody, you could always go to Rocky Horror Picture Show at midnight and there's all these drunk girls and parties afterwards and stuff like that. So worst case, it was something else to do. So we always ended up there. And of course, never, not once, wearing a costume. But all those people are wearing their costumes and things like that. And yeah.
I was going to ask if you were in the cast.
No.
Maybe Frankfurter.
No. No Dr. Scott here. But I did learn all the taunts and, all the things that went on. I mean, it's pretty interesting. Now, where were you when you went to this event?
Orlando. I was in the Navy.
Orlando. Oh, you were in the Navy and going to it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was here. We had it forever, and they keep bringing it back.
It's still going on. You can find it every Friday night if you want.
Somewhere out there in the world, it's playing. Did you ever see the sequel?
No.
Oh, God, it sucked. This is like the next day or something like that. It was really bad. Yeah, you didn't miss a thing. All right, but speaking of missing something, out there listening are missing our next beer that we're drinking. And this is The Beast, a Grand Cru, which we talked about that before, about what exactly is a Grand Cru. A Grand Cru is French for great growth and typically designates a vineyard known for its favorable reputation in producing wine. But in beer, doesn't necessarily mean that at all.
Well, it's the brewery's best, is what it means.
Okay.
So it's not really a style. It could be any style.
It's a designation, right?
It's what the brewery considers the best brew. But it is, by de facto, it's a Belgian beer. So
yeah,
it's completely appropriate for Avery to call this a Belgian.
Hmm. Now, did you know that there's one higher than a Grand Cru? It's called a Premier Cru.
I did not know that.
Yeah, who knew? We do now. So The Beast, you were telling me before that this is it's another reference to Satan and the demonic beers, and we're talking about the mark of the beast, the sign of the beast, all that. So this is yet another demonic beer, and this is it's still got a little of that sweetness, but I think a lot of the sweetness we're getting is from all the malt used to jack up this alcohol. And you got your specs up on this one?
Yeah, this one has a few more bittering hop.
Yeah, it's got a little bit more.
Magnum, Galena, Saaz, Howitau, and Tetanen.
Okay.
And Hirschbrucker. So it's got a ton of hops in it.
I hadn't heard of that last one.
Hirschbrucker?
Hirschbrucker.
I think it's German.
Okay. All right, and this is I'm looking at Rate Beer. They classify this, because even though it's Grand Cru, they classify this as a Belgian strong ale. I'm pulling up The Beast. Avery themselves refer to this as style of a Belgian Grand Cru. They don't say it's a strong ale, but there you go. So what else you got on this bad boy here?
16.4%.
Yeah.
That's the important number.
That's a number.
And this is the beer that put me to sleep during one of our shows.
That's right.
Like, you guys kept coming back to me, and I was going, I'm done. I'm drinking The Beast. I'm done. That's all I could say.
The description of this is pretty cool. It's a seducer. Yeah, go ahead.
The Beast is a seducer, accommodating, complicated, powerful, dark, and created to last the ages. With deep burgundy color and aromas of honey, nutmeg, mandarin orange, and pineapple. This massive, challenging brew has flavors akin to a beautiful Caribbean rum. Dates, plums, raisins, and molasses are dominant. in a rich Venice texture. I don't
Venice or Vinus? I don't know.
Venice. Cellarable for 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
that means
you,
it has a lot of alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Usually you hear some flowery description invoking all kinds of exotic stuff, and you think, you're right, you know. But actually, I get a lot of that, what they were saying. I mean, I smell like some fruit in the thing. And
it's very well described.
It really is. And I get the rum kind of kickback to it and the taste. The alcohol's there when you drink it, but it does kind of work like you're drinking a little bit of liquor. It's good. Very good. And it does have more hops than the other one. The malts are pretty interesting. You read off all the hops. This has got some Special B, honey malt, aromatic, pale malt, roasted wheat, and, of course, your good old two-row barley. So that's pretty good stuff.
Speaking of hops, to talk about the hop shortage.
Oh, yeah.
There's a it's going to be a big shortage for us home brewers and brewers in general. I think the hop harvest this year is down 30%, and also the variety is very limited, so it's going to be hard finding some of our favorite obscure hops that we'd like to brew with.
So that probably won't affect some of the larger, more commonly used hops, just some of the more interesting things there. God, I lost my train of thought. You know what that means? The beer's working. Yeah, it's working good. I was checking in. You know, we've kind of fallen out of touch, purely my fault, with our friend Rick Like at liketodrink.blogspot.com. And we'll try and catch back up with him. But you were talking about the news, and I was pulling up his page to see if he'd had any recent commentaries about what's up with the hop shortage. And don't see anything, but we'll see if we can't get a hold of him and get caught back up a little bit on news out there in the beer world, because there's been all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's very well documented at northernbrewer.com. If you want to go there, they've got a really nice write-up. And I also – this is strange. I was in Phoenix offhand for business. I haven't traveled for business in a long time. But I was sitting at the bar, Four Peaks Brewery there in Tempe, Arizona. And I turned around. The World Series was on. I was watching the Denver team get beat soundly. But the Breeze guys were there, Breeze Malts out of Chilton, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And the first thing they said was, expect the malt prices to be up 30% this year.
The malt.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. There's a drought in Australia and I believe Europe. There's a higher demand for malts coming out of China. And a lot of the farmers, you know, they're getting the government money, so they're converting their fields to grow corn for ethanol because it's a subsidized crop product. So all of those things combined are limiting the amount of malts that are available for brewing also. So expect the price of beer to go way up this year. If you want a good craft beer, you're going to be paying $10 to $12 a six-pack are the numbers I've been hearing.
That's so. You're talking about for a craft beer.
For a craft beer.
Yeah. Well, you know what'll be interesting, and just off the top of my head, that's got to affect the domestic stuff too. And if it goes up a dollar,
sure it will. But I believe that they probably own their own farms. I know.
Yeah, you would
the
think
guys
so.
Guys at Craft Beer Radio, they were taking on a tour for Budweiser's hop farm. So I know that Budweiser at least grow their own hops. I don't know if they grow and malt their own malts. I know Coors here in Colorado, they do their own malting. So they take the barley and they malt it themselves.
Hmm.
These companies are fairly well self-sufficient. It's probably what got them through Prohibition and all that.
Yeah, that's true. So I guess it'll be interesting to see. But where I was going with that was if they – do increase the price, regardless of whether they have their own, whether they just, you know, play it and say, oh, well, hop shortage, malt shortage, got to jack up the prices. It would be interesting to see if people who now have to pay a dollar or so more might
jump over to the better stuff. Well, if I'm going to pay a dollar or two more, then why not $3 more and try something new? Because at some point, you've got to start feeling bad. I say that, and as I'm saying that, I think, well, you see these morons plunking down $4 a beer at the ballpark all the time. Well, what are you going to do? So we'll see.
Yeah, there's like beer loyalty. You know, I used to be a victim of it. I was a Bud Light guy, so I'd buy a Bud Light. And when I was smoking cigarettes, you know, I had my favorite brand of cigarettes that I'd always buy.
Yeah.
It had very little to do with the price. It was what I identified myself with.
You know? Yeah.
So now I identify myself as a craft beer drinker, and, you know, so I will pay the price.
Yeah, well.
Even though it's increasing.
You may not drink as much. Who knows? I mean, it'll be interesting. I don't think, you know, it's not like gas rationing or nothing. Might cost you a little more, but, you know, it's worth it.
Some of the hops might not be available, so there will definitely be formulation changes going on.
Yeah.
It should be an interesting year because people might start using some of the more bizarro hops that are not common, you know.
Yeah, who knows? And might even come up with some kind of hop alternatives, or who knows? You know, I think all it can do is encourage experimentation, and we'll see. And Mike couldn't be with us tonight because he's traveling, and he's called in from the field to give us an update on where he's at. And so this is kind of an interesting technological marvel here. I'm in Memphis, Rick's in Denver, Mike's in Nashville, and we're accomplishing this through a microphone pointed at a speaker and me holding the phone over the other mic. So it's high tech shit. All right, well, Mike, where are you at?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, of all places. And I'm at an establishment called Buffalo Billiards and been drinking a Sweetwater 420, I think is what he called it.
Yeah.
420. It's a pale ale and a pretty tasty beverage. I enjoyed it. Probably getting ready to order another one. But earlier tonight, I was at Yazoo Brewery, which was very interesting. It's in a very old part of Nashville, a lot of the old warehouse district, and they've commanded one of the old warehouses and turned it into a brewery. And they have a little tap room there where they sell their beer. They're mandated by law to sell their beer at least 12 hours a week. So they do 3-4-hour shifts during the week, usually like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or maybe a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, depending on what they feel like. And so I don't know why that is. It's just a law. They have to sell beer for so many hours a week.
You're talking about sell beer to the public, like get them.
To the public, right.
Yeah, okay. As opposed to they sell beer to the public in barrels and bottles and so forth. This is like across a bar.
Right. Yeah, it's a little tap room, and they have a ton of people coming up, which I thought was pretty cool. They bring their empty growlers in, and they rinse them, and then they refill them. And they have all their flavors on tap. They have a stout, a porter, or it's a rye porter. And they have a pale ale, the Dos Perros, I guess, which is, what was it like?
It's
Cerveza?
Yes, yeah, it's a Cerveza.
Like a
yeah.
Cerveza beer?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one they got?
They had a Hefeweizen, yeah.
And, man, there was a bunch of people getting the Hefeweizen and the Growlers tonight and the pale ale, of course, which is their popular beer.
Well, Rick, you remember when Linus came to visit, he talked to, and Linus is the brewer there at Yazoo, he was talking about how the different beers sold around Nashville and how he's bringing out his kind of his flagship beer, the Pale Ale, which is, it's based on Amarillo hops, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you, they're doing right. Well. I mean, there was probably, it's a little old room, maybe 10 by 20. And, man, it was elbow to elbow in there, and everybody bellying up to the bar, ordering beers, and then getting their growlers filled, and just a real festival mood and a lot of fun, and everybody talking to everybody. And I met, you know, here I am, my first night in Nashville, and I probably met 20 people there. Just everybody was real friendly and just having a good time. So, and I was upset when they ran us out of there at 8 o'clock because they only sold beer from 4 to 8.
And, Rick, that's the same way. I mean, the tap rooms in Denver, some of them close. What was it? Avery closes pretty early.
I said those were tasting rooms, and they weren't really selling.
They would
sell their bottled product, but
yeah,
that was free beer that they were giving away.
That's true. All right, so where are y'all to next, Mike?
Well, I think tomorrow I'm going to go to Blackstone. Check them out.
And Blackstone's a brew pub?
I got on the internet, looked them up, and they have some pretty interesting beverages to sample. So I'm going to probably head over there tomorrow afternoon and sample some of their wares.
Tell Mike the story of 420. He may not know it. It doesn't sound like he does.
No, I don't. Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, you know, I didn't even think of that. I kept thinking of fish. Mike, you know what 420 is?
No.
It's time to fire up a fatty.
How does that come up with 420? What's that?
That's just
right before 5 o'clock or what?
Yeah, it's just what time it is.
That's when the kids got together to smoke the doobies.
That's right.
I love it. Hey, man, believe it or not, there was a guy from Oregon there. I was sitting there next to the bar and got to talking to him. And I was telling him about some of the recipes, the homebrew recipes, where they call for dry hopping the hops and stuff. And he goes, man, you know, I got a friend of mine in Oregon that he brews some beer, and what he used was marijuana to dry hop the beer with. And he says, you talk about a beer. Now, that is a damn beer. He said, you drink one or two of those, and you just be gone. Out never, never land.
I don't know how that would work. I guess
that was
it would.
Interesting.
I guess that would work.
Do what now?
I'm just thinking about it, because it's like the dry hops, and I guess eventually the THC would leach out of it.
Yeah, probably just similar to brownies, I guess. Hash
yeah.
Brownies or,
yeah.
You know, marijuana brownies.
But it really wouldn't. Probably not. Well, like, you know, you dry hop to get some nose to it and some last little notes. I guess it would be.
Be our next recipe.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be a very expensive beer.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Spend that kind of money.
How many ounces? Shit. $500 worth of dry hop.
$40 a 12-ounce bottle, right?
Yeah, brother.
All right, the scary beer show, though, not the marijuana beer show.
All right.
There you go.
All right, well, we'll see you when you get back.
Well, okie dokie. You guys have fun.
That's Mike calling in from the field. We're going to take a break, get our last devil beer ready. So here's some devil music for you to enjoy.
Oh,
was pretty cool. Van Halen. You know they're touring now?
I did not know that.
And I was misinformed. I thought they had started touring like this month or last month. Hell no. They started months back. They've already been by here. They were in St. Louis. They are this month in California and out in Phil's and neck of the woods and then up there near P.B. Rick's area. But I looked on their site because I thought I was going to be out there around the time of one of their concerts. And they're like one of my all-time favorite bands. And I looked at the concert pictures that they shot from like the recent concert. And you know the big deal about Van Halen now, it's now even more Van Halen because Eddie Van Halen's got his kid playing. Wolfgang's the bass player. So, he replaced Michael. So it's three Van Halens and one David Lee Roth. And they all look good. They all look very healthy and fit. And Eddie just looks thrilled to death that he's got his kid out there. I guess because he's paying him, you know, scale and getting all the money. I don't know. But, yeah, it's pretty interesting. And, of course, you know, I know you're a big Valerie Bertinelli fan. So you're probably watching her on her
own. I'm not. What is she doing these days? I thought
commercials.
I thought she was in drug trouble or something.
No, she was eating. She's a Jenny Craig girl now, along with that Kirstie Alley. They do the commercials.
She was on a show with that real skinny girl, and the skinny girl is always.
She's the one with the drug. Yeah, the One Day at a Time. Wasn't that it? I forget.
Sure.
All I remember about it was it had Dwayne Schneider, the guy who did the repairs in
this
the apartment.
This is our well-researched show.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing but the facts here. All right. So we're on to our last demon beer,
Mephistopheles.
Bow down to the Dark Lord now. And what are we... What's the body count on this thing? This is a
15.1.
How much?
15.1.
Okay, so
this is actually lower than the Beast.
This is a lighter than the Beast, stronger than Samael's, and
IBUs are way up there. This is the biggest or the bitterest beer we've had all night. It's running at 107.
That's a lot of IBUs there.
Color is coal black, and it's a classic Russian Imperial Stout, dark tan head, and just pitch black beer. And Mephistopheles is the crafty shapeshifter, second fallen angel. Mm. Amazingly complex and coal black, velvety and licorice. This demon has a bouquet of vine-ripened grapes,
Anise. One of those.
And chocolate-covered cherries with flavors of rum-soaked caramelized dark fruits. And a double espresso finish.
Well.
Sounds about right.
I am getting, as I'm drinking it, it's just so overwhelming. I'm really unable to tell some of the taste. But after I put it down, I get the chocolate-covered cherries, and I definitely get the double espresso finish. I mean, the aftertaste is exactly like Starbucks. There's no beer aftertaste. There's no hop taste. It's a double espresso finish. That's dead on. For 107 IBUs, I don't taste it at all. I mean, I think this is one.
No, it's very well balanced.
Yeah.
This is actually the first beer of the night that it's been what I consider well balanced.
Yeah, but it is. I mean, as you're drinking it, it's just like, oh my god, it's like grabbing me by the throat.
I initially had some smoke flavor, smoke characteristics coming through.
Yeah. Okay,
did
I got
get any
that.
Of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's that whole espresso, the roasting, all the roasted. You got roasted barley, the black malt, which is going to be roasty anyway. Yeah, it's man. I don't know what they did. They got to jack this up like crazy. I mean, the malt, the grain bill on this thing, it's got to be huge. But it's a bear. Man,
And this is one, I think this is the slowest drinking one that I'm going to have. And it is, the head's non-existent now. The head goes right away. And it's black. And, you know, we didn't talk about the colors of the other two. They weren't dark. They were, what would you say, like a dark copper?
Dark copper.
Copper, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, you know, pleasant to look at and kept their head okay. This one, yeah, black as can be. And, geez, oh, man.
All right, Avery describes it. As Samael, they have colors copper. Mm-hmm. The Beast, they have burgundy. And Mephistopheles, coal black.
Yeah, I would go with Samael and Mephistopheles, but the Beast, I didn't see burgundy. It wasn't red to me, or maroon.
No, that
or
wasn't
purple.
Burgundy.
No, it was copper,
the Beast,
too.
You didn't see burgundy?
No, I thought it was more coppery. But all good. Very, very good. All three are, man, don't do this. Don't try and work your way through three bottles of this unless you bring a bunch of friends. These are very complex, deep beers that you don't want to slam down at all. You couldn't. It would just smack in and hurt you really bad. But very
you'd
good stuff.
Pass out.
Yeah. And if you did manage to chuck them down before you passed out, you wouldn't wake up for a long time. And when you woke up, you wish you hadn't. This is a good winter beer. This is really a warmer. It's starting to break out into a sweat already. Man, I think it's all the alcohol in them. What do you think? That could have something to do with it.
Okay, so do we want to try and tell the ghost story badly? Considering it's a scary beer show?
I got nothing. You go right ahead. Lay a ghost story on me.
Well, all right. Let's set the music, or set the mood. So it's a dark night, no moon at all. And a couple, they go driving out, you know, to go parking and to smooch or whatever they were going to do. So they park the car, and then, you know, they kiss for a while, and then the guy tries to start the car. Doesn't start. Try to start again. Doesn't start. And he looks down. He's out of gas. He goes, okay, you wait here. Because I know we're kind of in a scary area, so you just wait here. And he's telling it to his girlfriend. He hops out, and he's going to go off and get some gas. Well, the girlfriend's sitting in the car. She's starting to notice how dark and how scary it is. And there's this scraping sound on the top of the car. Scrape. 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 So she wants to get out, but her boyfriend told her to stay put, so she stayed put, and she's just, like, shivering, and she starts to cry, and, you know, she's just having a real bad evening. So she finally falls to sleep with the scraping sound going on the roof of the car. So a cop walks up to the car and knocks on the window. He goes, Miss, you need to come out of the car right now. She goes, oh, my boyfriend went to get some gas. Have you seen him? Is he anywhere around? He goes, Miss, you got to come out of the car right now. And whatever you do, don't look back. So she gets out of the car, and as she's walking away, she just has to turn around. The cop says, no, he's calling from inside the car.
Oh.
Okay. No, I think I messed that up.
Yeah. I think you just combined two stories. That was horrible. Wait, I was waiting on the hook. That was a bad telling. Okay, that's good. I was looking it up. I was looking up something else while you were telling. I found the hook, and it's like I'm kind of reading along their version of you telling. It's like, wait a minute, there's no cop. And then it's like the phone call. Okay. Yeah, that was good. I'm glad you did that instead of me.
Best effort at telling a ghost story badly. Quintessential scary movies.
Yeah. What?
Define the.
Well,
we were going to talk about, but I forgot what we were going to say.
We started talking about this before and about what the ones were that you. Not necessarily, I mean, you know, scary, yes, the first time, but just really cool movies that you like. My favorite one, and I love to watch it, and I'd still watch it, is Phantasm.
that was just creepy as hell when I was a kid the first time I saw it. And I just like watching because it's like there are funny parts and scary parts and all of that. But
yeah, mine was the Omega Man. I see they're doing a remake on that with Denzel Washington or something like that.
Yeah. See, that didn't scare me so much. And what about The Omen? Get anything out of that?
The Omen, very good. Very good. The Exorcist was probably one of the scariest movies I ever saw in my life, though. The Trilogy of the Bells.
Oh, yeah.
Just sent shivers down my spines, man.
Wait, no, it wasn't Trilogy. It was Tubular.
Tubular Bells, yeah. That's
it. Yeah, Tubular Bells. And
Captain Howdy.
Captain.
Well, let's hear some Tubular Belly bells.
Yeah. Let's wind it up. Okay.
All right.
The beer's had its way.
Beer's kind of kicking my ass, man.
Yeah, and I know I didn't drink near as much as you. I just sampled using my little JBF sampler glass, although I did fill it to the top. So anyway, good stuff. Get back on track, get our shows together, and more beer coming your way soon. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Roll on thunder, shine on lightning. The days are long and the nights are frightening. Nothing matters anyway, and that's the hell of it. Winter comes and the winds blow colder. Well, some go wiser, you just grew older. You never listened anyway, and that's the hell of it. Good for nothing, bad in bed. Nobody likes you and you're better off dead. Goodbye,
goodbye.
We've all come to say goodbye,
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 goodbye, goodbye.
Born defeated, died in vain. Super destructive, you were hooked on pain. And though your music lingers on, all of us are glad you're gone. If I could live my life half as worthlessly as you, I'm convinced that I'll wind up burning too. Love yourself as you love no other. Be no man's fool and be no man's brother. We're all born to die alone, you know that's the hell of it. Life's a game where they're bound to beat you, and time's a trick they can turn to cheat you. And we only waste it anyway, and that's the hell of it. Good for nothing, bad in bed. Nobody likes you and you're better off dead. Goodbye,
goodbye.
We've all come to say goodbye,
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 goodbye.
Born defeated, died in vain. Super destructive, you were hooked on pain. Though your music lingers on, well, all of us are glad you're gone.